Lord for His goodness to us.
Amen.
An opportunity to be back together and hear some of the Word of God again. We thank the Lord for that. Let's turn over here to St. Mark, 4th chapter. And we want to read some here. Starting at the 2nd verse, we're going to read down here a ways. And He taught them many things by parables, Jesus did, and said unto them His doctrine. So Jesus is, we got a picture here of Jesus, you might say, sitting or standing there talking to the people. And He's teaching them, talking to them by means of parables. He's getting a point over while not just being a parable is something you use kind of as something similar to something, but it's similar to things that people have experienced in their lives. And so therefore you can use that as an object lesson to get something, get a point over sometimes. Kind of like painting a picture. He said a picture is worth 1,000 words. There was a saying like that. Sometimes a picture, people can get a hold of an idea by means of a picture much better than just a whole lot of words. Yeah. So here we see Jesus Christ. You might say is painting a picture here to these multitude of people. And He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. So here he is, he's painted a picture here of a man that has seed and he's trying to get some crops to grow.
Yeah.
And so here he is. We back in those days they had a bag, like a leather bag I believe, with seed was in the bag. Mm-hmm. And after the ground was maybe plowed up or scratched up or dug into furrows maybe, and so they had done something to try to prepare the ground for the seed, and maybe there was sufficient moisture maybe from the rain in the ground, and so there we have some degree of preparation made on the ground, and we have a picture of a man coming by with a bag of seed. And here in this bag, he reaches into the bag and he begins to cast the seed out one way and the other in front of him and off to the side of himself as he walks along through the field. And so he's casting the seed about like that, going on, and he's looking at as he's going, and he sees the ground is tilled or whatever. But here we see a picture of like seed being randomly thrown around the ground as he's going across the field. And then after he goes that way, then he may turn and come back this way and continue doing the same thing until he has sown the seed. He's trying to get the seed evenly spread over the ground because he wants the crop to grow like that. Now, and so here we see this says, "And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." We can think of it as though there was some that got cast aside into the areas maybe that weren't very well prepared for the seed or weren't prepared at all, hadn't been plowed up, hadn't been at all maybe moisturized or anything like that. So some of the seed fell over there in the wayside, you might say. And then there was some that fell on stony ground. That fell on the wayside, that was exposed immediately to the fowls of the air. The fowls of the air, the birds, they eat the seeds, see? That's just a natural thing that they do. They come along and they're looking for a meal. And so they see the seed laying out there in the open. Very easy to see it. It's not covered up and out on a flat surface maybe and a hard surface. And so they can land there and just begin to pick up the seed and eat it and be on their way. And then there says here, there was some that fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And so there was some maybe where the ground had been maybe plowed or scratched up or however way they had to do it back in those days. And so in some areas there were rocks that were tilled up and so forth. Some very stony areas or maybe we can think of it as some areas where there was maybe a lot of gravel and so forth like that. And so they just plowed the whole area and here comes the sower and he's sowing. And some of the seed gets into that area where it's kind of rocky and so forth, just a little bit of dust, a little moisture. And so the seed begins to spring up there almost immediately, it seems. But it says here, because it had no depth of earth. In other words, the seed could not put down roots into the ground and get firmly established and growing. Because of that situation, it seemed like it just grew up real quick-like. But then, because the sun came up, it just got scorched. It couldn't draw nutrients. It couldn't draw enough water out of the earth. It got scorched, and then it just withered away. It was gone. And then he says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So that is thrown them out there. And in some areas, there were seeds of thorns still left in that area, though it had been plowed. But yet there were those seeds still there in that area. I liken that the thorns unto those natural weeds that just grow in any certain area of the world. There are some plants that seem to grow without any effort that man has to put in it at all. If you are a gardener, someone trying to raise something around your house, or maybe you're trying to put a lawn in, and maybe you have your lawn, and in your lawn you want Bermuda grass or bluegrass or whatever kind of grass you want in your lawn. You want that lawn just pure, completely, all bluegrass, let's say. But then you didn't sow it, but then up pops up some dandelions, or up pops up some ryegrass, or some other kind of a weed just pops up. You didn't sow it, and you may wonder, you know what, that wasn't even there before, but it seemed like as soon as I threw my grass out there, and I started trying to grow this pretty lawn, and then start giving it some water, up pops this other stuff. That's what was going on here. There were thorns, cuckleburs, different kinds of things coming forth. So these seeds thrown out there, these natural seeds that were natural to that place, they just could overcome those seeds of the crop that you were trying to sow. And so they sprung up right with your seeds that you were planting of your crop, and they just outgrew it. They grew faster than your crop could grow. And so in the end, your little plants that you were trying to get going there, it seemed like they just got sapped of all the strength. They couldn't get enough strength of the from the ground. They couldn't get enough nutrients, not enough moisture out of the ground, and eventually there they were, just kind of choked up. They began to be outgrown, and so they you might say they were dwarfed. They were just there. They were stifled in their growth, and they were unable to bring forth any fruit at all. They just were there, right there in that place. And then it says here, and then other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So there was some that fell on, maybe I trust much of the sower seed fell into this ground that was properly plowed. It had enough moisture in it. There was enough nutrients still in the ground after all the other crops maybe that had been sown before. But here it was properly prepared, and the seed was sown there, and that seed caught a hold there and began to grow and grew into a nice plant. And not only to that,
extend. It continued to grow. I think sometimes you can plant some things and it just seems like they just grow a whole lot of green stuff, a lot of leaves and all of that. And well, that's good. It's pretty. But if that's all you want, that's fine. But if it's not all you want and you want a crop out of it, you want something more than leaves. See, you want that thing to begin to bring forth some fruit. You want to see some seed pods coming on and so forth. Well, here we see that this fruit, these plants that were sown in the good ground, they sprung up. They began to bring forth the leaf. They began to bring forth the pod. And then they began to bring forth the seeds and multiples of seeds. Maybe one seed was sown there, and out of that became a lot of seeds. Some 30, some 60, I believe it says, and some 100. In other words, for every seed you sowed, maybe there were 30 seeds that came out of that one plant, and so forth. Well, you know, when that sort of thing happens, you feel like you're getting somewhere. You feel like you've gained from this effort. It's not just a matter of throwing out your seeds on the ground and nothing comes of it. Just here, we gather these seeds from last year's crop, and we try to save them and take care of them, keep them from sprouting all during the year. And here it is, we throw them out here on the ground. Nothing happens. But no, here in this case, on the good ground, the seed sprouts, it grows, and then it brings forth much fruit. You feel good about that, don't you? Well, we can just think of the Word of God. Here's what Jesus is trying to bring a lesson here. He's saying here, here is the Word. And this Word was sown like that. Going down here to the 13th verse. And he says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the Word." That is the Word of God. And you might think, well, this was Jesus here. And he was teaching the people. And so he was the one sowing the Word. He was espousing the Word of God. And out there, so that the different ones that were there, they had an opportunity to receive the Word of God. Amen. And now it says, "And these are they by the wayside." Here he's going to give an explanation of this parable. There are some by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And it says, now here, these spirits all out here in the world, Satan, he's got to manifest himself in a lot of different ways, but he's just out here floating through the air. He's in people's minds, and he's bringing ideas to people. And here's the Word of God cast out there. And someone maybe hears the Word of God, and their heart hasn't been prepared for it. They haven't prepared their heart. They're still hard. They're still in a condition where they're resisting the Word of God. They're not letting it enter into them. And so the Word of God comes to them. They hear it, yes. It registers maybe on their brain, but it's not getting down inside of them. There's nothing in them that's reaching out and taking it in. There is a resistance there. And so immediately, even though it was the same true Word of God sown to everybody, the seed that was sown here, we want to think of this seed as all good seed in that man's pouch as he was walking along. There were no bad seeds there. There were no duds, as it were. Some seed look like they're pretty good, but inside they're faulty and they wouldn't bring forth anyway. But this man that was unprepared to receive the Word of God, his heart was hard. He was resisting the Word of God. It was the same seed that was sown to the other people. It was good seed. It was seed that should have brought forth something. But here, because of his resistance, because he had not been willing to prepare himself, he was not allowing the Word of God entrance. And so because of that, we find here comes the devil. As soon as the seed was sown, the seed sown in a man's heart, intended to have a spiritual effect on the man, here comes this devil. He's coming along here. He sees something that might be just laying there on the surface. You see, the devil he doesn't even want it to lay around. If you kind of are not ready to receive the Word, the devil wants to come and take it out of your mind. He doesn't want it just laying around here anywhere where it's some point in the future, you might reach over there and pick it up and maybe take it in and try to do something with it and so forth. But the devil comes along with all of his devices, thoughts, ideas. He comes along. He comes along and he gives you something else, and he exchanges that he gives for that Word of God. And he takes the Word of God and he just throws it away, as it were. He wants to put it in a place where nobody can get a hold to it anymore. And so that's what happened to that individual. And so that individual, these are people, you see, these people, their heart is so hard, they're so insensitive, unable to receive the Word of God that is thrown upon them, you might say, but they resist it. It kind of tumbles off to the side, and immediately the devil comes and takes it away, so that after a while they can't even remember what it said. The devil has taken it away and done away with it, and there that person is left in their same old dry condition out here. Let's continue on. Here, the 16th verse, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. There are some people that when the word of God comes, because maybe emotion in their mind, in their heart, in their person, in their personality, a great emotion, and they hear the word of God brought forth, it's expounded there, and there's something in them that has a quick response. They're very much impressed with it, favorably, it seems. And they just take it up right away and seem like they're going to go all the way with God, all the way throughout their whole lifetime. They've made a great reform, and it seemed like just in a matter of days, they're just growing by leaps and bounds and going, you might say, to heaven real fast, like they're gaining spiritually, gaining understanding. But then here we find there are some places down inside of them, because of that emotional response, they got going spiritually, but down inside of them, there's still some hard places, some rocks down there, some places where there wasn't really sufficient nutrients, sufficient moisture, sufficient preparation to really receive the Word of God in the depths of the soul. And so that individual, here after a little bit of time, it seemed like this root, here comes some trials, here comes some trouble, here comes the heat, the burden of life begin to come on these people. He says here, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They shrivel up and die. You know, there are many people like that, it seems. People that start off for God seem to start off good, but after a little bit of time, something happens. They don't have a root in themselves. They're not as established, they're unable to gain strength, and then away they go. And it says here, sometimes persecution arises for the word's sake. You know, the word of God, when it begins to have an effect in an individual's life, that person, in responding to it, they begin to make changes down in their life. And then sometimes that brings persecution, sometimes quite rapidly. And when that begins to occur, here we see these people, because they don't have what it takes inside to endure, next thing you know, it's gone. And then that one, it seemed like, was so full of hope, so full of great prospects, someone that could be, you seem like, you so well in the work of God, you turn around, so to speak, look back at them another day, and it seemed like just as fervent as they were for God, maybe when they first got saved, now they just turned them back and gone away the other way, and you kind of shake your head and you wonder, what a change. You know, may the Lord bless. These all are conditions that can come and be in people's lives. And now going on down here in the 18th verse, and it says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. storms, such as hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. And so these are they, sown among thorns. You know, I said, there are some things that are just natural weeds growing out there. A man doesn't have to do a thing about it, but those things will grow and prosper without any effort on your part. You don't have to cultivate it. You don't have to sow it. You don't have to water it. You don't have to do anything with it, but it'll just grow anyway. You know, in each one of us, there are things like that in our personality, in our soul, you might say. Those things in us that are naturally part of us, things we've inherited, and so forth. It seemed like maybe some recreations, some things we love to do, love to be involved in, and things like that. Those things, and then there are the cares of life. These things that are common to all of us, things we have to take care of and be involved in. And then there may be some things, like I said here, deceitfulness of riches. You searching maybe for more earthly prosperity. There are some people caught up with those things. Anyway, all of these types of things can bear down upon a person's soul. And when the Word of God has been sown in there, then these things just spring up naturally. They begin to take over and outgrow the Word of God. Eventually, the Word of God begins to take a back seat. It just sits back there in the background. It's been outgrown, outdone by all these other things that you have been involved in and are involved in. And so that person, they are the one that eventually they just kind of become stagnant and still dwarfed in their experience, unable to seem like grow. But you know, I believe sometimes this same kind of individual, they don't end up leaving their profession. Their profession is still with them. But here, they are just swallowed up with all kinds of things, activities, things they're trying to achieve and work on, all of that. But the Word of God, unable to be of effect in the individual because their attention is drawn other places. And so, that person, if they begin to be just stunted in their growth, they don't bring for fruit. It seemed like the Word of God that was sown in the individual, it just doesn't bring forth anything much. It just sits there, and there it is. I think of the unfruitfulness of going through the labor of sowing the Word of God. You know, and for every seed that you sow, I picture this individual here as being one that brings forth that one seed again. In other words, one seed was thrown there, one seed sprouted and growed, and after all the years go by, in the end of the deal, all comes back as one seed in return. You know, there was another place when Jesus was talking about that type of a situation where he gave the talents, and there was an individual that took the Lord's talent and he hid it in the earth. And so when God came to take an account of those individuals, there was that man with the one talent. That's all he had been given. And so all he had done all of his life was just hold that one little thing. And then instead of just doing anything with it, he stuck it in the ground, buried it. And then at the end he said, Lord, there's your talent. It's in the backyard there. Go dig it up. It's yours. 20th verse. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Those that have their hearts properly prepared to receive the word of God, reaching out for it, wanting it, desiring it to just come in and be a part of them, it comes in. It's a part of them. They cultivate spiritual things as they go through life. You know, we have to cultivate an experience with God.
Yes, that's so.
It's not something that just takes us over. It doesn't work like that. You get saved, you repent of your sins, you begin to live for the Lord, but
you have to put in a lot of effort.
Yes.
If you're going to be one of those that makes it to the end of life, to stand before God in purity and holiness, innocency, you're going to have to do a lot of work along the way.
Yeah.
A lot of dying out to self. A lot of seeking God in the times of trouble.
Yes.
A lot of seeking the graces of God in your life when you're tempted to do what comes first to self. Those thoughts that would run through your mind and say, do this, or say this, act this way. You're going to have to really dig, get a hold of God,
yeah,
to prevent those things from taking over.
Oh.
To live a Christian life, it takes effort, dedication. It takes a certain constancy, for want of a better word right now. It takes a certain continual effort at this thing.
Yes.
There are some that seem like they start off for a while and they go real good, but then 5, 10, 20 years later, they seem to fade into the background. Some just not even around at all. They're backslidden, never see them again, or you don't see them for years. It takes effort.
Yes.
So if we're going to make it, we're going to have to put forth some effort. I believe that the only reason that we plant seeds, farmers plant seeds, is because they want to get a crop. And their hope is a bumper crop.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They would just, if a farmer plants one grain of seed and it grows, he would be just overjoyed if he got 300 or 400 grains out of that one.
Yeah.
That would be good. That's what he's wanting. So, do you believe that Jesus wants any less for what he puts in us? What he sows in us, the Word of God. When he puts some of the Word of God in us, when he sows it, when he opens up our understanding, when we sit here in this place and we listen to the Word of God time after time brought forth, and we study the Bible, or we hear different comments and the different ways that the Lord deals with each one of us, that's putting the Word of God in us.
Yes.
It's for a purpose.
Amen.
And the purpose is that God, he wants to see some fruit come up.
Yeah.
Now we want to turn to St. John, the 15th chapter, and the first verse I'm going to read here. Jesus is talking again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it,
yeah,
that it may bring forth more fruit. Jesus is saying here that he is the true vine.
Amen.
A vine, grapevine, let's say. And he's saying here that his Father, God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God is the husbandman.
Yeah.
The husbandman is the farmer, the vineyard worker. He is the one that does something to prepare the ground, loosen up the roots. He is the one that tries to make sure that the moisture from the soil can, the roots can get a hold of that. Maybe, let's say, in today's world here in California, he is one of those men that opens up the valves of the irrigation ditches and lets the water run down through there. He is one of those men that would go there and plow up between and make furrows so you have a channel down the middle for the water to flow in. He is one that does his very best to take care of, provide for, and maybe uses some sort of things to kill the bugs and all of that. He is one that from time to time, maybe in the early part of the season, he goes out there and he tries to get the weeds out from between the vines and all of that, and so that those vines can grow. So here we have another picture. Jesus Christ, him being the vine, the true vine, the one that is the true vessel for all spiritual things to mankind. And here we see that we are individuals now, and we see us as the part of the plant that are the branches.
there is a vine, and there are the branches. And so we are the branches. And here we are, we want to grow and extend. We want to bring forth some some leaves. We want to see leaves. And then we want to see a fruit growing on us, the branches. So, so here he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth a more fruit. In other words here, I'm just getting an idea here, and maybe you can give me some correction. But here is a plant, a vine growing. And at the beginning part of the year, or sometime in the dormant season, here we have this plant, and it has been cut back and relieved of all extraneous growth. That is the true vine. That is the true vine. All of that, all that growth from last year, because they want this thing to start from scratch this year and begin to sprout and bring forth these branches all over again. And then I think how that maybe after it started to growing a bit, and then you wait a bit, and then you look at that plant and you see that there are starting to be some little grapes, some some fruit showing up there. And you look at the whole plant, and then as you look at that plant, you see some branches that don't have any fruit on them. Those, we just cut them off. We don't need them this year. Right now, we just cut them off because we want all the nurture, all the nutrients to go to those branches that are bearing fruit. And then if there is a branch out there that's bearing fruit, maybe, and you see the grapes starting to be there a little bit on that vine, then you reach on out there, past that, beyond that, maybe, and you go through there, and you could prune off some of those out there. The grapes are back here. This extraneous growth out here, we maybe could cut some of that off. Because we want the fruit to grow.
Yeah.
We want to maximize the fruit. Now, I've seen corn grow. Let me digress a little bit. I've seen corn grow, and you can plant a corn plant seed, and it'll start to sprout and start to grow coming on up. And then if you look down at the bottom of it sometimes, you'll see a lot of little old corn plants shooting off right at the base of it.
Yeah.
A lot of them sometimes. And you know, if you want that main stalk to really bring forth fruit, those at the bottom, those little things, you need to cut them off. Go there and break them off. Just break them off. Break them off and then keep right on going through the field. Because you want the main stalk to bring forth fruit. And so here we have a picture of Jesus Christ being the true vine. And now we see the branches, and we see the fruit on the branches. And now it says here he's been purging, he's been cutting away because he wants to maximize the amount of fruit that's coming forth. Now it says, third verse, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God, when it comes to us, it has a tendency to clean us up. It helps us to get rid of things that are unlike God in our lives. I believe that the main thrust of God's Word in the lives of every individual is really to bring forth holiness.
Yes.
All right? Really to bring forth holiness. We need to bring forth holiness, godliness, righteousness. We need to bring forth more and more of God in our lives.
Amen.
That's the main thrust of it.
Yes.
Then after you have gotten something from God, then you're ready to go out and start working in the kingdom to others.
Yeah.
But first, you get something. There are some that seem like no sooner they get saved, they're thinking about saving others, and they haven't got their feet on the ground yet. May the Lord help. Let's get our feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Let's let the Word of God bring forth fruit in us.
Yeah.
Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me.
Yeah.
Abide in me. Get hooked up to Jesus. He is the true vine.
Amen.
We are the branches.
Yeah.
Abide in him. Stay in him. Dwell in him.
Yes.
The true vine, he is the one that gets the nutrients out of the ground, and then the nutrients come through that true vine and then out into the branches. We are no branches on our own. We can't bring forth any fruit. A branch, when it's removed from the vine, it soon dies. The leaves fall off of it, the fruit stops growing, and pretty soon it's dead. It just is going to die. And so it is with all of us, that if we ever get separated from the true vine, we are going to die spiritually. Spiritually, we just begin to fade away. God's not in there. The life that we have, if it's the life of self and the flesh and full of all kinds of carnal, temporal ideas and human and theories and so forth, God's not going to be in there. Because those things are going to stifle any growth that you might have. We cannot bear any kind of fruit except we get it from the Lord. We have a song. It says, "All my strength I draw from Jesus. By His breath we live and move. Mind, He gives us faith and life and love." You know, we ought to feel like that. All of our strength, we get it from God.
Amen.
You want to have some kind of power with the Lord? This is where it's going to come.
Amen.
I hear different ones talking about it. You want to see more and more of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? You want to see more power in your life and whatever? It's going to come by hooking up with God.
Yeah.
It's going to come by hooking up with Jesus. It's going to take some effort on our part. To stay hooked up. You can start, kind of get hooked up in the morning time, you know, when you pray. You're getting ready to start out your day's work. But then you can kind of go along a little bit, and a couple, 3 hours later, seem like you've kind of come unplugged. And you're running on your own. And you're doing the best you can do. You know, you never hear people say that. You look at them, they're going through a trial or something, and they quick say, well, you know, they didn't do real well in it, you know, and they say, well, I'm doing the best I can do.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah.
But I believe you can do better.
Yeah.
By staying hooked up with God.
Yeah.
You can do better than you can do.
Yeah.
Amen. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, I believe it. Without him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
When it's in regard to spiritual things, we can do nothing without Christ. If we can do something else, temporal in this world, it's because many times God just allowed us to do it. You'd be surprised how proud men can be on what God allowed them to do. He gave them health, strength, and He gave them a mind, and they think they could conquer the world. But they have nothing spiritually. Amen. We want to have something spiritually from God. Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. No doubt you've wondered over that verse many times. How come, Lord, is it that we can pray and it seems like nothing happens? Don't get our answer. Or we don't get our will. we don't get what we wanted. How is it, Lord, but you said if we abide in, you know, and I'm abiding in you. I'm abiding. Your words are in me. I believe that we need to be closer to the Lord. There are some things that we ask for that are not in God's will for us. And we need to be close enough to the Lord, close enough to God, to so we can be in tune with what His will is.
Yes.
If He's abiding in you, don't you know He'll talk to you?
Yeah.
He'll deal with your heart. If you're dedicated, you're living the life that He wants you to live. You've dedicated this life here on this time world only to please God. It's all it is something that's being spent for God. You know, that would constrain you from saying some selfish prayers.
Yes, amen.
That alone will constrain you. And it'll also increase your faith.
Yeah.
Because you'll know that when you start to pray for something, you've already looked and you've submitted to whatever God's will is. And you're going to be happy with whatever He does. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. 8th verse. So shall ye be my disciples.
Yes, dear God.
Jesus, to bring forth the fruit that God wants. The seed sowed in our hearts. The Word of God sown in our hearts. The main thing is to let it bring forth fruit. Like God wants to be brought forth out of us. There's this song, I don't have the number, but it says a phrase or a sentence in it says something like, "Yes, all my strength I draw from Jesus." What's that number? 202? Let's sing that song. I just think of that. All my strength I draw from Jesus. All my strength, all my ability to go through these hard trials in life. And while I'm going through them, have a orientation of, Lord, help me to be long-suffering. Help me to be merciful. Help me to treat my fellow man the way I ought to treat him. The way I would like to be treated. Right in the midst of the time when it seemed like I'm going through some hard, difficult things and maybe I'm not getting what I would appreciate maybe being due consideration or whatever. But yet our mind is fixed on bringing forth the fruit of God in our lives. Doesn't matter what we go through. We'll make heaven because we do other people right.
Yeah.
Or we try to do them right. Best of our understanding and our little knowledge, God knows, see.
Yeah.
We won't do them right.
Yeah.
And that's how we'll make heaven. It won't be because all these people treated you just wonderful. It won't be because they all understood you. You know, we make heaven, we don't depend upon how someone treats us to make heaven. You know, we're going to make heaven in spite of, or no matter how others treated us.
Yeah.
You know, no man's going to take my crown. You know, I'm going to hold on to that. You know, and it means humility. It may mean crying. It may mean no malice.
Amen.
No bitterness.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus hung on that cross, and I don't think He had any bitterness.
Amen.
I believe He went to that cross, and I don't believe He was up there just, oh boy, I just wish I could tell these folks something. Oh, if I could put them in their place. If I could just make them see what they're doing to the Son of God. No, I believe He meekly went. He knew He was paying the price. He knew there was a purpose in what he was doing, and he was single-mindedly following right on through with that. So may the Lord bless. We want to do the same thing. Pray for us.